Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Saxophone Market Call podcast. This is being recorded just for reference about an hour and a half before the U.S. Open on Wednesday, May 25th, even though we are launching it a little bit later than that. But with us today, our special guest is Kim Carmen-Larsen, our technical analyst on the strategy team. Welcome, Kim. And you've got some great slides prepared for us and some thoughts on where some of the key markets are. And I requested a couple of extra FX charts since I'm the house FX guy. But just to preview or preface things for tomorrow's special edition podcast with Peter Garnery. Actually, you conveniently left in the drawdown chart, which that Peter has made showing the really major drawdowns we've seen of 30% or more over the last, let's call it one century in US equity markets. So you can see that for perspective on slide two. And that will be our first chart we go into, Kim, where we are in this pretty remarkable drawdown so far. We tickled sort of that bear market status around 20% recently in the S&P 500. What is your assessment of where this market is? And what are you looking for next here? It's been a pretty grinding sell-off, especially when you see those weekly bars last several weeks.
Yeah, what is interesting, and I think that Peter will also touch upon it a little bit tomorrow, but we just discussed it earlier today, is that the market moves actually looked a little bit like what happened during the 2007-2008, just before the full-blown so-called financial crisis. It doesn't really look like the dot-com bubble in the 90s, but what looks like or feels like the dot-com bubble in the 90s and up to around 2000 is more the psychology part, which we can talk about on another time, where investors coming late into the market and buying all these more or less overblown or overpriced stocks. So it's a mixture of both, but here it seems like we're following the path of the 2007-2008 financial crisis.
And we saw there was a really technical level where it found support recently, that 38 plus level. So yes. Take us through what that level is all about and if it's going to continue falling, where you think it's headed next.
Yeah, it's actually a very strong level around that 38-15. It is the 38-2 Fibonacci retracement of the post-COVID massive correction we saw back then, 2020 in Q2 there. So that's around that. And also you can see I've written a strong support on that line. It's also the last, so to speak, leg up before we have a correction or a consolidation area there. So what I think will happen is that we will, over the next few days, maybe a couple of weeks, we will see a little bit of rebound, possibly up to around 4,100, but that will not change the overall picture. But 38.15 is a crucial level of support. If we break that with a daily close, a weekly close for that matter, well, then we're talking about 3,500 level, which is the upper part of the big consolidation area going back to Q4 2020.
All right. And then you have some perspective here on the DAX, one of the favorites for many to trade in Europe because of its volatility. It's quite a different picture because we had the big significant low there right around or just after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And since then, it's been in a pretty different state here. Now, part of that is the weak euro has helped, I guess, at the margin. But what's your assessment of where European indices are headed, and particularly the DAX?
Yes, true, John. It's quite different where you had this massive sell-off or collapse almost there when the Ukraine war started, and since recovered quite significantly. And it seems like European market is at least for the past couple of months, has outperformed the U.S. market. And I'm not quite sure what the real background of this is. I can only read the charts. We are in a short-term downtrend, but it's a little bit fragile. And 12,227 key resistance. If that's taken out, well, then we can actually see I think we'll see March highs just below 15,000 to be tested. But it's like there's a tug of war between bulls and bears. One day bulls are on, and then next day bears are on. So it's a little bit, how can you say, frustrating to trade DAX at the moment.
Yeah, a very choppy chart there for sure.
Very choppy, yes.
And one thing that has driven this bear market in general and a revaluation, especially in those very bubbly stocks we've seen from a valuation perspective, has been the big rise in yields. We reached almost all the way to that 2018 high recently in the 10-year yield, a pretty remarkable feat, you know, considering the speed and how far away from it we were from earlier this year. So, but what are you looking for next? I mean, this is some major trend lines that have come into play on this rise in yields. It almost looks like a different regime potentially.
Yeah, it has, John. It's we have broken this multi-decade long downtrend. And we did it with a very nicely inverted shoulder head shoulder pattern that actually gave a target of just around 3.2025, which is also the peak we had there in I believe it 2018. And if we move on to the next slide, that we can actually see what is going on at the moment. This is the daily chart of the U.S. 10-year yields. It has actually also drawn formed a shoulder head shoulder pattern. And it has been confirmed with a fairly steep rising neckline, which gives us a price target just around 2.5%, and where we also see a cluster of Fibonacci's depending on where, basically regardless of where you are measuring it from. So yes, maybe there's a little bit of, I don't know if relief in this, but also after some massive moves in the futures market, I think we'll see around 2.5%, maybe dipping a little bit lower. But you will enter that 2.5%, maybe a little bit lower, and then we will start rising again. But that can actually help the equities market in its rebound.
Yeah, yes, so it could if the perspective is valuation, or if the reason that there people are seeking a safe haven because there's utter carnage in equities, and that could be a different scenario. It's been a bit interesting to see how the bond market has changed changed its behavior recently, yes, relative to the equity market. And we have to emphasize that those yields peaked out, at least on the short end as well. I'm not sure about the long end. I haven't actually poked around as much at the long end, but on the May 4th FOMC meeting, that was when the 2-year peaked out, when Powell and company said we're not going to do 75 basis points anymore. But that'd be very interesting if we do get to 2.5%. And the reason there's room to go there is because we went so far that we don't even have to necessarily threaten the trend, I suppose.
We do not threaten the trends. No, but I do believe that we will pick up the rising trend in interest rates later on. Possibly after summer. I foresee a bit of a fairly calm summer, and then we'll pick up again. And if we break above the 3.25%, well, then there's not really much resistance until around, and it really sounds heavy, but we are talking, there's a little bit around 4%, and then we're talking about 4.25%.
4.25% or 5.25%? On slide five there, you marked 5.25%. I can guarantee you there'll be some utter carnage in equity markets if we get to 5.25%.
If we get to that, but
My goodness, let's see. And then playing the devil's advocate. So if those targets are not coming into play and we get a big solid reversal bar, the reversal that would sort of break your scenario would be, I guess, something that rallies, or if rates rally back into the back above that head and shoulders line.
Yes, I mean, if we get this throwback to test the longer term upper trend line we have seen there, then it's a completely different scenario. And I think that if we break below, and this is what we have to look out for, if we break below 2.3, that's what I meant when I said we could possibly dip to 250, a little bit lower. If we actually break below 2.30, then I think we could be completely different chains, and it could then we might be testing that longer term upper falling trend line there, and then we are in a different scenario.
Right. Okay. I was actually referring to the opposite. If yields poke back higher,
right away.
But that's okay. I assume that would have to get back above 3% and in a hurry to yes, sort of, to sort of erase your more sort of.
It has to break. Yeah, we need a pullback above the neckline. That would be first the rising neckline. That would be on the daily. That would be the first indication that the correction is over, and then we will move higher and most likely breach the 3.25.
Okay. Now, let's look at crude oil. Energy prices are obviously a key driver of inflation. Many eyes on this chart. You've got the next one, slide 7, the Brent crude price. A pretty readily apparent sort of short, medium-term resistance line or range top there. What are you looking for here? This kind of, you kind of lost count of waves when it's just been going back and forth and back and forth in a range.
Yeah, I also tried to count range and ABCD, but it's a very irregular correction. So it's more like a range bound, which just before I went on this podcast, it was testing this or actually trading above the resistance around 115, to be exact, 114.84. But nevertheless, if it takes out and we close above that, then uptrend is confirmed. What is actually interesting is that the WTI crude oil has actually confirmed its uptrend a couple of days ago, where it seems like Brent oil has been lacking a little bit. So I do believe that we will see a confirmation of an uptrend here. We also have higher lows the past few weeks. So 123 will be next, which will be very interesting level. If that is breached also, then we are back at the Ukraine war spike, so to speak.
Yeah, and Ola Hansen as well, our commodity strategist, emphasizing that crude oil could be in a different place because a lot of these refineries that have been shut down for maintenance are coming back online, therefore pulling demand into crude oil that was maybe a little bit restrained because the focus was on shortage of actual product supplies. All right, let's go to the gold market because we've talked a lot about this one. It really jumped higher, this whole talk about the dollar needing to be replaced once we saw the confiscation, or not confiscation, but the freezing of Russian assets. This story has really petered out with a stronger dollar, with the apparent pricing of inflation, or the market pricing inflation, to eventually fall. Therefore, real rates, at least as a financial measure, have really gone much more neutral to positive relative to where they were. So the goal is really just all the energy came out of the gold market. It fully retraced that big rally post Ukraine. What's your take now? I mean, it doesn't have a lot of work to do to get the uptrend back into some kind of gear again.
Yeah, it will really need something. I think it will struggle on getting the overall uptrend back into motion, because what we can see is that the 55 simple moving average, which is the blue one, is really dropping at the moment. We have the 100 moving average more or less flat, the same with the 200. So I think we could see that gold is being maybe caught between those levels. What is interesting next couple of days, will it actually trade above 1870? If it can't take out 1870, which was the high yesterday, which is also the 38.2 Fibonacci retracement of this sell-off we have seen the past months or so, then we could see further setback. What is also interesting is that the RSI, the strength indicator, is negative, showing negative sentiment. So the underlying mood, if you can say so, or the sentiment here, is actually a little bit negative. So for now, I will treat this as a rebound in a short-term falling trend or in a falling trend.
Okay, and that kind of fits with what I was seeing, or what I suspect might be happening with the dollar, because I think the dollar, it's been under pressure here in the short term. We peaked out in rates. We got some negative data from the U.S. yesterday that saw U.S. yields punched lower, but then actually the dollar rebounding to where it was before that negative data even came out. So it looks to me like the dollar is kind of making a stand here and maybe saying, okay, enough is enough for testing the bigger trend picture, even if locally it's had quite a backup. So I'll let you just run through the next few charts in rapid fashion on the FX pairs that you're looking at here.
Yeah, I mean, the first one is euro dollar. It's going back to the past 20 plus years. And it's just to give an overall idea where we are in the world with the euro dollar. And we bounced off at 103.50 support, that was, you know, created back about 10 years ago. So that's actually quite interesting to look at those old levels to see where we are, and also if or when we break below that, where we're going to move next, and we can maybe cover that in a different podcast. But what is actually interesting short term is that, and I draw in a couple of different scenarios here. So
this is on slide 10, by the way. That's your next one. Slide 10, zooming in on the daily bars there. Yeah,
we are zooming in on the daily bar. Yeah. So it actually reversed the short term or the longer term downtrend is still in motion, but short term it seems like we have a correction here. What is interesting, a couple of things to note, is that RSI is still below 60 threshold, which means we are still in a negative trend. It needs to break above that. Today's market, it's not over yet, obviously, but if it dips back below the support which we are testing at the moment, then the first possible scenario will play out, and I believe we'll move back down and test the previous lows and the support at 103.50. If holds, and we could see it testing the short-term falling trend line, maybe also breaking it, but then at 105, just below that, sorry, 109, then there's massive and strong resistance, and I don't really believe that one to come into play, but it is a possible scenario. Regardless of which one is going to play out, downtrend, I'm quite confident will resume eventually.
Yeah, there's so much heavy lifting. If you look at that, when you zoom out like you did on that massive chart there on slide 9.
Exactly, yes.
There's a lot of work to do to change the trend picture there. And another huge trend that has developed, Dalian, we had such a run-up, and it was in such rapid and persistent fashion after it broke the 116 plus resistance. It looks like your yield chart, and for obvious reasons, I've noted so many times the correlation between U.S. long yields and dollar yen. I guess it's the same scenario. The 2.5% scenario in U.S. Treasuries for the 10-year is going to mean some level lower in dollar yen, and I think that's kind of reflected in your chart there.
It is. I mean, technically, we actually breached that support around 126.90 yesterday, but it seems like there's still some buyers out there trying to hold on to that, and we are hovering around that level, and there's a little bit of tug of war going around here, but I do believe we will see a correction, and we need that. We can see that divergence on the RSI has been dropping, market's been going up. It is gone a little bit long in its tooth, this rally here. So if it's a major trend change, I'm not so sure, but a correction again, 120 possibly, which would be huge, but let's see. What there are some support levels on the way, 125, 122.50 also. So but it's just, let's see, a couple of days, but I do believe we will see. We can also see Bollinger Bands are starting to expanding here, so and we are slowly building up a little short term downtrend with lower lows and lower highs. So all right. I think we're in correction time, yes.
Yeah, I'm a bit curious to see what happens there. I had my suspicions that we would see a bigger reaction to that support break, and I've been a little bit underwhelmed just from relative to the data flow, not relative to the technicals. But
it seems like they tried for three, four times now, and it's like they can't really pull the plug on it.
Especially given that I know that speculative positioning is very, very short yen. So it should, you would think it would be more sensitive to breaking these types of support. Yeah. So I'm still got my open. I'm open for either scenario, that it just fails to go much lower, or that it sees one big further sell-off before finding some support somewhere down there to those levels you mentioned. Now, Aussie dollar, I love this chart because this is what I've been looking at. That 0.70 level, so massive on the longer-term charts. It sort of broke above there, but then the local context is kind of confusing because that's really not enough to change the trend in the local sense. I think you would agree. And then here locally, we have this wonderful... is that not a dragonfly doji sighting I'm making there on yesterday's bar?
Yeah, it does look like it, yeah.
And a real beauty if we get a long sell-off candle today. Of course, our listeners will be listening. Yeah, our listeners will be listening to this on the following day. But that would be a beautiful way to post an evening star type setup. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But what's your read here? My read is you still have to give the bears a chance, even up into 72 plus area before we can start reversing this trend. And that requires even above 72.50, or have I got it right?
Yeah, I totally agree with John. So let's see where we end today, where the market ends today, to make an assumption. But what is also interesting is you can see that the 55 moving average is about to break below the 100 moving average, and so it's and also the 200 moving average, and there seems to all be falling, which is that's not a good underlying sentiment for upside potential. Let's put it this way: there will be a massive resistance around that. That level on these levels. So if we do get a negative day today, and a long red candle, then I wouldn't put my money on market moving higher. I would put my money on moving testing lows from 2 weeks ago. And also looking at the RSI, still below 40. Still below 60. And so. Yeah, it seems like it can't really get any upside traction. But let's see where we end today. That I think that will be the key for the next couple of weeks.
All right. It's great to touch base on the technical situation across all of these markets, Kim Common. And we're going to make sure we have you as a more frequent guest on the podcast in the future. You're moving closer to the strategy team after all. So this is a great first bigger splash and check in on these levels, on these markets. And we'll see how things shape up in the days and weeks to come. So thanks again, thanks again, Kim. And
happy to be here.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, that's a wrap for this special edition of the Saxo Market Call. Tune in and tomorrow's podcast, which will also be recorded on Wednesday, May 25th, for a look at historic market drawdowns and where we are in that context and where we are relative to what the economy is doing. I think it's going to be a great conversation with Peter Garnery. So stay tuned for that. Have a great one. Stay careful out there. And we'll be back next week with the regular daily Saxo Market Calls.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.